بسم الله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومواله. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing? الحمد لله. So inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be continuing with ayah number 21 of Surah Al-Insan. Allah ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم عاليهم ثياب سندس خضر واستبرق وحلوا أساور من فضة وسقاهم ربهم شرابا طهورا. Upon the inhabitants will be green garments of fine silk and brocade, and they will be adorned with bracelets of silver, and their Lord will give them a purifying drink. This is a very, very beautiful ayah for a number of reasons. First and foremost, you have عاليهم. I hope I'm not going to get too detailed with the Arabic grammar, but inshallah, we'll take a look at a little bit of it. عاليهم is mansub. Now, there is the opinion that's عاليهم. This is one reading of it. But the popular, and if it was that way, عاليهم, then it would be marfu' and therefore be the mubtada. It would be the new sentence starter. So that seems very straightforward. But عاليهم being mansub makes it a question. Why is it in this form? And it could be a hal, or describing the state connected to the previous verse. In other words, the previous verse was talking about they're going to be looking at bliss, na'iman, wa mulkan kabira. They're going to be looking at this huge dominion, and they'll be, and as they're doing so, as they'll be in the state of what? Getting dressed with these green garments from above them. The angels will be placing these clothes from on high upon them. This special type of clothing. And we'll see why that is the case in a moment, inshallah ta'ala. Another possibility is that it's mansub because of the dharf. Just like فوقهم ثيابهم, عاليهم ثيابهم. So the certain ظروف, they always have a فتحة at the end. You know, فوقهم, بعدهم, so forth. So عاليهم, it could be considered a ظرف من الظروف. So that's interesting perspective. And so why are the garments coming down? Because the angels are dressing them up and descending these clothes on them from on high. ثياب is the فاعل here in this case. And then they have the word سندس. عاليهم ثياب سندس خضر. So, sundus, there's a bunch of opinions. What does sundus mean? MashaAllah, it's a very popular sister's name, right? Lots of sisters named sundus. It's a name from paradise, MashaAllah. So, there's a few opinions. That it's an Arabicized word from the Hindi of sundun, and they say that it was brought to Alexander the Great, and he called it sundus, because the Greek words add an S at the end. Allah, and this is one hypothesis. But another one is that since the Arabs would normally get their silk from Persia, the standard term for harir, which was mentioned in ayah number 12 earlier, is now being added to. Now, a term that is more exotic is being used, sundus, implying that it's of a higher quality, more exotic, from a farther area. So it's a more special kind of outfit, and you see the progression here. Why is that the case? Again, I'll get there in a second, inshallah ta'ala. So that's why it's from a further culture. And some say that it's been Arabicized from Assyrian, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, what's interesting as well is that there's a connection to darkness here. Al-Hindis, Shadid al-Zalam, that Hindis means extreme black. من أن السندس عرف باللون الأسود أو ما يقاربه. And also, sundus is known as black or something similar to it. So I want you to imagine a type of silk that is dark. خضر can also mean something that is dark or green. خضرٌ, green that is, we know that green is soothing to the eyes and it reminds us of nature. And yeah, there's different terms. It could be a sifa of thiyab. It could be majroor if it's being connected, but that's we'll deal with that later. Now, in terms of why is it such a dark color, one possibility is that darkness implies sleekness. We know that when you think of a nice, chic black suit or coming out of a nice black limousine, and you know, so there's something that has to do with something that is chic and black. It really reminds you of luxury. And then you have the word istabraq. Istabraq is synonymous with the word debaj. It basically means brocade. Allah Ta'ala also mentions it in ayah number 31 of Surah Al-Kahf. وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا مِّن سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ. So again, apparently this is a Arabicized word. Again, this is trying to make it, these are terms that are very, you could say, have a foreign origin, describing and implying how far and how exotic they are. And coming from the Persian word of istaqarra, something like this. Anyway, so there's the idea here is that Allah Ta'ala is zooming in on the clothing, and there's this thick silk interwoven with a fine silk. And this is the height of perfection, and attention to detail. That there is the thicker cloth, like usually you have the outer garment, which is a little bit thicker, and then sometimes there's the inner lining. And so both are being highlighted here to show how meticulous and beautiful it is. No matter how much you zoom in, you don't find any flaws, you just find more perfection. In many cultures, you'll find that the outer garment is thicker and rougher because sometimes it has like these precious gems and metals stitched into it, like that they put on, let's say, kings or queens, that they have these big, heavy, you know, outer garments that have all sorts of jewelry and so forth. And the inner garment is soft and cheap because no one's going to see it anyhow. But in paradise, subhanAllah, the outer is thick but not rough, and the inner is fine and soft but not cheap. So subhanAllah, you know, sometimes in dunya, you'll find that the emphasis is either on this side or on that side, but you find in paradise, everything is being emphasized as top quality and perfection. And now there's another opinion which I thought was just fascinating, that istabraqa could be seen as the madi. Instead of istabraqun, it could be istabraqa. And that would be the madi, the past tense verb. And it comes from, just like ajiba means istajaba, same thing, like to be astounded. This tafsir it was mentioning that bariqa and istabraqa mean the same thing. So here we have the meaning of what? To glitter, to shine, to sparkle, or to flash. So now this is really highlighting the idea that it's a sleek and darker look with some tint of green, but it really shines in an interesting way. And it's also fascinating that earlier we were talking about qawarir min fidda, right? It's crystal, but it's also silver. And you think that seems paradoxical. And similarly, this is dark, but also shining bright. It seems paradoxical. SubhanAllah, this is something that we can't fully comprehend. And they will, wahullu, they will be adorned with, and usually when the passive is being used, it's because these are the wildan, or these are the malaika, these are the youth that are serving them, or these are the angels serving them, they're the ones putting this on them, so they're getting this royal treatment. Wahullu asawira min fiddah, that they are getting put on them bracelets. And this is, like I said, similar to ayah number 31 of Surah Al-Kahf, mentioning of these bracelets. However, in that surah, it was gold. Here, it was silver. We talked about that last week a little bit. I'm not going to go into too much more detail. But it's interesting that Allah Ta'ala will reward the sincere person by serving them in paradise, despite the fact that Allah benefits in no way for doing so. Why? Because again, this person served others despite not benefiting in any way whatsoever. And we talked about that in ayah number 9 when it said that they feed and they help out the miskina wa yatima wa asira, those who are the most needy. These are the people that they help out, those who are poor, those who are in prison, those who are orphans. And they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We don't want anything for this. We're just doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want any reward. We don't want any gratitude or thanks. And so here it's amazing. Allah ta'ala is giving you, and you think, what's the benefit to Allah ta'ala? No. You gave with nothing expecting anything back. So in the same way, Allah ta'ala just keeps giving. Subhanallah. So yes, it's also interesting that asawir, you know, bracelets are being mentioned. Why? Because it seems that there's a certain universal symbol of status, which is what? Expensive watches, right? You know, people. This is a huge market. This is a huge concept. People love to detail and examine, you know, just how fancy a person's watch is and their bracelets are. Why? There's something very appealing about it. It speaks a lot to, human obsession. And this is a symbol of great status. It's expensive, it's artistic, it's beautiful craftsmanship. You find there's precision, artistry, beauty, all of it in one. So you find that these types of, whether it be bracelets or watches or whatever the case is, it's a powerful statement. In fact, so much so that when Fir'aun was trying to put Musa alayhi salam down, what did he say about him? He said, فَلَوْلَا أُلْقِيَ عَلَيْهِ أَسْوِرَةٌ مِّن ذَهَبٍ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مُقْتَرِنِينَ. Then why have there not been placed upon him bracelets of gold or come with him angels in conjunction? So in other words, even Fir'aun was saying, you know, if he's such a big shot, where's his, where's his gear? Why doesn't he look the part, right? So subhanAllah. It's also interesting to note that Allah Ta'ala is highlighting that you will have these precious, beautiful metals on you. And earlier we know that the disbelievers in ayah number 4 of this very same surah, they also had metals on them. But this was for the sake of punishment, being heated up with collars and with chains. So it's very interesting the way Allah Ta'ala parallels these things and says, you will have certain types of metals torturing you, and you will have others that will be rewarding you. So this is, you can see, a very interesting device. This is all building up towards what? What? وَحُلُّوا أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. SubhanAllah. This is truly remarkable. So remember how I said you're being clothed. And you wonder to yourself, well, why are we being clothed again? In ayah number 12, it mentioned that we will have harir, we will have silk. The sort of generic term for silk is harir. Now this term is, you know, sundus, istabraq, is more fancy. But if we were already clothed, why are we being clothed again? Well, typically, you switch up your clothing for what reason? Why would you try to dress up all fancy? Because of a what? Okay, somebody said occasion? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, reading my mind. I know, this is a tough question. For a fancy occasion, usually you want to get dressed up real fancy for a fancy occasion. So in ayah number 12, they were being dressed up. And then ayah number 13, muttaki'ina fiha ala al-ara'ik. They were all hanging out together. So what was the occasion? Hanging out with the believers. Sitting back, reclining, relaxing, and then what? Fruits coming down from above in ayah number 14. Vessels being circulated with foods and drinks in ayah number 15 and 16. Ayah number 17 and 18 was describing the wines, you know, so enjoying more. And then ayah number 19 was talking about the servants. And ayah number 20 was talking about looking at your great dominion and the bliss all around you. Mulkan kabira. So this was the first occasion of being able to chill with your with the believers in paradise, chilling with your friends and the people you used to see in the masjid and pray next to. And now you're being dressed again. And then you think, well, why are we being dressed for this new occasion? And subhanAllah, now we find out why. وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. So now the drink is coming from somewhere extra special. وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ means, and that their Lord will give them to drink. So subhanAllah, before the occasion was meeting the believers, it seems that now the occasion is what? Meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just the same way we're supposed to dress nicely before we pray, as Allah ta'ala says, Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O children of Adam, take your adornments to every masjid. You're supposed to try to dress well before you come to stand before Allah ta'ala. Well, guess what? In paradise, now that Allah ta'ala is going to be offering you and giving you these drinks, subhanAllah, this is something that you have to dress up even more special for. And sharaban tahura means what? Means a drink that it purifies. Tahur is in the fa'ul pattern, so it is hyperbolized. So this is different than all the other drinks previously mentioned. You have this progression. First they're going to be drinking from kafur, then they're going to be drinking from zanjabil, then they're going to be drinking from salsabil, and then it builds up to finally wasaqahum rabbuhum sharaban tahura. So subhanAllah, this is a beautiful progression showing you that there's these layers of paradise, and there's this progression of it's always getting better. And it's reminiscent of the prophetic dua in which the Prophet said, Ya waliya al-Islam wa ahlihi, masikni bil-Islami hatta alqaka alayhi. O guardian of Islam and its people. This is your calling to Allah. You're saying, O Allah, you're the guardian of Islam and its people. So you're saying, O guardian of Islam and its people, enable us to hold on firmly to Islam until we meet you upon it. Ya Rab, I want to meet you upon my deen. This is a beautiful dua from the Prophet ﷺ, and this is reminiscent of the fact that we will, inshallah ta'ala, the believers will meet their Lord, and Allah ta'ala will be serving them. Why? Because they were the ones who served those who were weak, so Allah ta'ala is serving us in paradise, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So we are his guests in paradise. Moving right along, the next ayah is, Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. So inna is indeed, truly, verily, some sort of emphasis. Hada, this. Kana lakum. So the word kana here is you could say for emphasis, and it can always be, it can also imply to have always been. This has always been the case. So it's really quite beautiful that this is a statement that's being said to the believers. That Allah didn't say, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah didn't say that. It's just implied that what is being said to the believers is what? Indeed, this is for you a reward, and your effort has been appreciated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to his ibad, to his servants in this ayah, and we see that the speech is directly to them. And yes, we can also infer that it is Allah Ta'ala the one speaking. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala was the one, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ, that Allah Ta'ala was the one serving them and giving them drinks. Now, inna hadha, the emphasis is because you can't believe that you've earned this. So the inna, why is there an emphasis? Because it's so remarkable. And the hadha could be just paradise and all of the wonders within it, or hadha in this particular case can refer to the fact that Allah Ta'ala is personally hosting you. So this is something truly beyond your comprehension. And this is something that you never thought could be possible. The kana, as I was mentioning, works. So the sentence doesn't need the word kana here. So why is this added emphasis? One, you could say just for emphasis sake, but also because it was always waiting for you every step of the way. Kana technically means was. So it had always was the case that this reward was waiting for you every salah you went to, Every time you made dua, every time you opened up the mushaf, every time you turned away from haram and turned towards that which was halal, every time you tried to worship Allah and get closer to Him, this was the reward that was always just waiting for you. And you didn't know, but subhanAllah, this is what was in store. And the fact that Allah says, lakum, this is specifically for you. This is Allah Ta'ala speaking directly to the believers. What an incredible honor. Then Allah says, jaza'an. It's a reward. So this is beautiful because part of the reward of paradise is the fact that it wasn't just given to you. It wasn't like Allah Ta'ala just created you and said, okay, I'm just going to place you in paradise so you could be the recipient of so much good. No, you actually went through a test. You worked. You repented. You went through hardship. You got sick. You struggled. You went through so much. And so this is a jaza'. You actually did something for this. And your work was what? Was mashkura. Jaza'an wa kana sa'yukum mashkura. That it was actually appreciated. And so subhanAllah, you don't feel shy to receive this. Of course, you may feel some shyness, but the point is that you don't feel like you were unfairly favored. Or yes, you feel that, no, this is something that subhanAllah, I worked for. Now the question can come, but how is this our recompense when we don't deserve something that great? Okay, fine. I'm not saying you deserve something that great, but Allah Ta'ala is so merciful that He takes the good that you have done and He multiplies it and multiplies it and multiplies your good deeds and forgives your evil. So therefore, subhanAllah, He's taking the little that we do and appreciating it tremendously. This is what makes it mashkur. It is appreciated. And each of us long for recognition, and Allah Ta'ala is giving us this recognition in the most beautiful and the most generous way. وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And His sa'i. Sa'i can mean like your hustle, the thing that you strive for. وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ. And all of your hustle, whatever you hustle for, all your hard work, it was mashkura, it was appreciated. The word kana here, again, highlights the fact that they were always appreciated. Even when you were doing a deed and you thought nobody else cared. Even when you were doing a deed and something good, and subhanAllah, you felt that I got punished for it. Somebody insulted me for it. Somebody treated me bad for it. I thought I was doing something good and they, you know, said I was showing off and they said I was arrogant and they said I was rude. And you're like, subhanAllah, Ya Rabbi, I tried to do something good. Allah Ta'ala is saying, it was always appreciated the whole time. You don't have to worry about people. Even if you felt that it wasn't enough, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is merciful. And so then the question is, sa'y, is it the hustle or the hustler that's appreciated? Is it the person, is it the deed or is it the one doing the deed? Well, this is an expression saying the effort by you, your effort, as in the, because it was done by you, that is what is appreciated, you and your effort. But obviously it can be summarized as sa'yukum mashkura. It is figuratively appreciating the one who made the effort. However, there is another way of looking at this, which is what? Sa'yukum can be a reference to your life mission, because it's not plural, it's singular. So it's the thing that you strove for. So then that begs the big question, which is for each individual one of us, what is our main life goal? What is your main number one hustle? What are you actually striving towards? This ayah is saying that your sa'y, as in what you dedicated yourself to, your craft, your life mission, it was appreciated. Then you have to ask yourself, do I even have one? Is there something that I'm even striving for? Yes, you might have a bunch of smaller things that you get done during the day, but ultimately, what is your true purpose? What is the thing that you are fully dedicated to that you ultimately want to see achieved? And is that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this word, sa'yukum mashkura, is really forcing the believer to ask, what is my ultimate objective? It's also interesting to note that earlier we talked about ayat 3 and 5. This was earlier when we talked about how imma shakira wa imma kafura, right? You can either be grateful or ungrateful. And then right in ayah number 5, those who choose to be grateful are called al-abrar, those who are righteous and do good deeds. And the implication was true gratitude must necessarily lead to good deeds, right? You're going to be a person of birr. If you are a shakir person, you will be a person of birr, for sure. Why? Because shukr is not just internal. You feel it internally and then you want to act upon it. So this was the implication between ayat 3 and 5. I don't want to revisit that whole point, but my point is that there's something similar going on here. Allah Ta'ala just described all the reward He gives to us, concluding that this tangible reward was because of something mashkur, a feeling of appreciation that is intangible. So in other words, the mashkur became something tangible, paradise. In the same way that your shukr to Allah Ta'ala earlier became tangible in terms of your birr. You guys see the connection? I hope it's not too complicated, inshallah. But it's really beautiful, the parallel here, that hey, you were grateful towards me and that translated to action. Well, guess what? I'm going to give you paradise, so much good towards you. And that's the translation of my appreciation towards you. right? So subhanAllah, that back and forth is quite remarkable. Then, a few final points inshallah ta'ala. The surah began reminding us that there was a time where we were not anything acknowledged or known whatsoever. There was a time where every human being was not even acknowledged as a thing. Nobody knew your name, nobody knew you as a concept even, subhanAllah. And هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You were nothing worthy of mention, you were nothing known, nobody knew you. So, and we know that human beings naturally want to be recognized. This is the state of being a human being. And so, subhanAllah, it's beautiful that Allah Ta'ala is saying, look, you used to be somebody that nobody recognized, and guess what? At the end, I am the one who recognizes you. Why? Because you were the one that was focused on me. As I said, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We're doing this just for the sake of Allah. Those who are sincere for Allah, they're going to be acknowledged back. So it's really quite, you see how the whole surah comes together, subhanAllah, in this incredible way, from the beginning to the middle, and now we're getting closer to the end. A related ayah in Surah Al-Najm, ayah 39 and 40, Allah says, وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Allah says, and that there is not for man except for which he strives. Whatever good you strive for, that's what you get. And that his effort is going to be seen. So this is something very beautiful. Anyway, to conclude, subhanAllah, I just wanted to mention that this verse makes every difficulty bearable, because it's the hustle that's appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse makes every persecution bearable, because the believer doesn't rely upon approval of people. He only wants the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayah proves that relying upon intermediaries is completely unnecessary. This idea of, oh, I'm going to go through this person. Why? Because we want the approval from Allah Ta'ala directly. And Allah Ta'ala here is saying, when you get to paradise, I will be appreciative of you directly. No intermediaries mentioned whatsoever. So this is why Islam, this beautiful deen of Islam, is something that connects you directly to your Lord. So inshallah ta'ala, with that we'll close, because the next ayah changes to a new subject. So inshallah, we'll do that next week. Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah Ta'ala make us of the people of paradise. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who can drink from kafur and zanjabil and salsabil, and ultimately from sharaban tahura, that the most beautiful of drinks given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are hosted by Allah Ta'ala, and we are his guests. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Any comments, questions, thoughts?